Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Pod for episode 136, an episode I am very excited for. Today's guest is one of Australia's most accomplished marathon runners, Lisa Waitman. Over Lisa's career so far, Lisa has represented Australia at 4 Olympic Games and multiple Commonwealth Games, earning medals and consistently ranking amongst the world's best distance runners. Beyond her achievements on the road, Lisa is also a business professional and a mother, balancing elite sport with career and being a mum. In this conversation, we'll explore the discipline and resilience that has shaped Lisa's journey, where her mental toughness comes from and how we can find our own, and the wisdom she brings from life, both on and off the marathon course. Lisa, welcome to the Femi Pod. We're in Marathon Week, Sydney Marathon this weekend. How are you and how are you feeling?
I'm getting really excited. I fly to Sydney with the boys this evening and I'm super excited about the opportunity to go to a world major and only have to take an hour and a bit flight. So none of this worrying about jet lag or getting myself all primed for this long trip and packing a heap of food in the carry-on and all of that, and kid food and activities and all that. We don't need any of that. We can just go to Sydney and enjoy the atmosphere. Yeah, it's pretty exciting and something we can all be ready to celebrate.
Totally. It's so exciting. And we were just saying earlier, the fact that you've been in the sport for so long, you've been running marathons for so long, and I would imagine most of those marathons, you do have to travel, like the elite field is coming to you. It must be a pretty surreal feeling to know that there now is a major on home soil.
And I just hope that the elites that are coming from overseas get to love Australia as much as we do. So we'll certainly be showcasing our wonderful country in Sydney, and, you know, hopefully they'll keep coming back because I think it's going to be a very cool party knowing Australians.
Yes, and I feel like the weather is going to turn it on for us. I'm not going to speak too soon, but it's been pretty horrific here in Sydney. So finally the sun is coming out. It looks like it's going to be a like nice crispy day. So good conditions for the marathon.
Perfect.
But let's go back to the start. I'd love to understand what you were like as a young girl. What sort of role sport played in your life, and where did you really find the love for distance running?
Yeah, so I started running with my dad and my sister, and I think I was about 12, 13, and we'd go for runs around the block. Dad played AFL and he then coached, and so we grew up in, you know, a footy family, enjoying, you know, all that comes with that high-performance sport. And so we grew up with a coach in the house, which was cool. And I went for runs with dad, and after a while he thought, oh, gee, she's keeping up with me. I think she can run. So he never told me that all about, you know, sort of the psychology of all that until later, because he didn't put pressure on us girls as kids. He did want us to make sure we did all of our study, but the sport part he wanted to make sure was fun. Later he told me, you know, I thought you were keeping up, and so I'd put the pace on a little bit and you'd still keep up, and so they thought that I could run. And yeah, so I started my career early, 14, I think. I joined a club and joined a club of boys because the local club didn't have any females, and that was pretty daunting. I was really shy as a youngster. I was the type of child that would stand behind your parents' legs and hide when anyone sort of said hello. And so I had to really come out of my shell, and sport helped me do that. And joining the boys' team, you know, they were so welcoming and they, you know, they really looked after me. And so that's how running started. And then I went on to finish my studies in technology, and I also got 7 stress fractures through my early 20s, which were all biomechanical. And after, yeah, 7 cycles, I finally got to the bottom of why it was happening and was able to correct, you know, little by little make changes and correct that. And then I started my marathon career by qualifying for the London Marathon in 2008 and that was my first Olympics following that after selection. So it, yeah, there was a lot of moments where I thought, this is probably not going to happen for me. Maybe I just won't be able to make it. But yeah, we kept persevering, kept trying new little things. Yeah, here I am about to run my first marathon and really looking forward to it.
Wow, what an amazing career so far. And yeah, the fact that you have gone through all of those challenges and come out the other side, like even just the stress fractures, 7 stress fractures, I feel like for a lot of people would be so disheartening. And a lot of people would just give up after the fact that they're constantly getting injured. But you've been able to get through that and get to where you are now, I think is really inspiring for a lot of people who maybe are in the depths of those injuries at the moment. But what about the marathon, like specifically, what is it about the 42Ks that you love? Because it isn't easy and it's a bloody long way. And it just seems like you're able to, like, particularly over the last few years, you're like backing up these marathons one after the other. What is it about that distance that you love so much?
Yeah, I think the challenge in itself, I think I'm not very good when people tell me I can't do something. Or you're never going to make it. Those types of things really drive me, and they push me to, you know, have another shot at it, to really put myself out there and, you know, take a risk and have a go. Because at the end, you know, you have a go at it. It's another running race. You have a go at it. If it works out, fabulous. And you kind of then just plan your next goal. You never really take that time to celebrate. You kind of have a 5 minutes of going, wow, I did it. And then it's like, what's next? And then if you don't achieve it, well, then you're still on that path to trying to get to where you want to go. You never, I think in running and in many things in life, you never really kind of in your mind make it. And you just keep striving, when you've got my crazy personality, for, you know, something more and something more. And so that's the marathon. Like, the marathon is one of those events where you can just continually strive for more. I can't say I love it all the time, that I would be lying. There's plenty of times where I've thought, oh, am I really wanting to keep, you know, keep doing this to myself? But you know, after a break, and then, you know, you get into a group and you start running with your friends and family, and then you think, you know, maybe I should give it one more go. And so these one more goes have been going on for about, I don't know, a decade now, I think. And I'm glad that I kept going, because I've achieved some really fun things. I've been through some really tough challenges, come out the other side of those. And yeah, I'm still enjoying being part of the running community and the sport. And yeah, it's hopefully there's, you know, a bit more fun to be had regardless of the results from here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to get into your mindset, because it is something that I am so inspired about. The way that you show up to races and the grit that you bring, like, I've just never seen anything like it. So we're going to get into that. But before we do so, you mentioned particularly when you were younger, you were training with a group of boys and you were the only girl. Did you face any other challenges being a female athlete, particularly when you were younger, but even now in the sport? Do you see kind of any behaviors that have arisen in your career that you feel is unfair because of being a female?
Look, I think it's going to, like in corporate, you know, it's going to take a while before, you know, we get paid the same as our male counterparts. I think, you know, there's equalizing the prize money, but I think, you know, other opportunities certainly are a lot harder as a female compared to males globally. It's an interesting one, because it's, you know, very similar to the corporate struggles that we have as females. I remember my first job out of uni and going into consulting was to be an analyst for a job related to our corrections facilities. And I remember walking with a group of men through our corrections facilities in Victoria and taking in sort of, you know, processes and things that we needed for our big project. And I remember feeling very intimidated walking through as the only female and a young girl straight out of university as well. So there's those moments where we kind of need each other to ask females to stand up for each other and really support each other to provide us with that, I guess, confidence and, you know, cheering, so that we keep putting ourselves out there and keep putting ourselves in positions where they're a little scary, but they will help. If they don't help us as individuals, they'll certainly help the next generation and the next generation after that. So I think the downside is we're still in the game, we're still fighting, but we're also making progress as well. And I think the most progress is made when we're together and we're doing, you know, we're fighting for the same thing and supporting each other and checking in with each other and making sure we're okay. So yeah, I was very lucky to have a really strong, I'm very lucky to have a really strong sister. So when I joined the boys team, she came you know, checked it out with me, even though she wasn't a runner. She, you know, loved her footy and still does. And, you know, so she was there for me. So I had my, you know, my big sister there saying, this will be all right, go and join the boys. And that group were just such wonderful teammates, and they didn't really see me as a female versus a male. They just saw me as their teammate, and that made it so much easier. And that's continued. I think that culture is very prominent in our running community, because I have gone on to train with, you know, the Melbourne Uni crew. You know, I run with a young man who gets up at 5:30 in the morning and runs with me Mondays and Wednesdays, and we get our lamps out and run in the dark together. There's so many people out there who just, you know, just want to get out and run together and support each other. And so I think that starting out as a, you know, 14-year-old running with the boys, and then continuing through and now running with the boys at Melbourne Uni and my husband and my nephew as well, and, you know, and Jono and co. So we're really lucky that we've got some really good support in the male community as well.
Yeah, it's amazing and pretty ironic now when I remember you running at the Sunny Coast Marathon a few years back now, but you were out the front, like the only woman. I think there might have been a few men around you, but, you know, you're still running with the boys now, which is awesome. And like, it is really nice. I get asked the question too, like, when I'm going to be out there on Sunday, who am I going to run with? And I don't have any specific person to run with, but I know that there's going to be a bunch of guys around me. And in my experience, the men in the marathon at the times that I'm running have been so incredible. Like, they're really out there looking out for me and, like, getting, you know, water for me and chatting with me and keeping me motivated throughout the race too. So it's a really, like, beautiful relationship that you can have with, like, training partners or racing buddies that are men and, like, care for you just as much as you care for your own result, which is awesome.
Yeah, I think, you know, the running community is such an amazing group where everyone, you know, if you're a runner, you just understand what the other person's going through. You understand that things can be amazing 1 minute in a marathon, and then 2K later, things just fall apart. And then back again, reversing that feeling. So, you know, the marathon, you need that camaraderie throughout that journey. And I think Sydney will bring such an amazing atmosphere, and, you know, both on the playing field and off, with everyone out there and enjoying that sunshine. So I'm really glad that you are confirming it's going to be a nice morning, because that means that there'll be so many people out there cheering their loved ones, friends, and just being part of the opportunity.
Totally. There'll be so many people out there and everyone will be in great spirits, which is exciting. Let's talk about that mental toughness. That is exactly what I saw when I saw you running the Sunny Coast Marathon. Myself and my husband, who loves you and was so excited that I've been chatting with you, we were just like, wow, she is one mentally strong woman. Like, it's so inspiring to see that. Where does that mental toughness come from? And do you think that mental toughness is innate, or do you think it's something that we can cultivate over time?
I think you get that. I think it's a little innate to start with, but through your upbringing and what you've been exposed to. So I think, you know, when you come from a situation where you're witnessing, you know, in my situation, I witnessed my dad as a footy coach, and I witnessed his desire and his drive to, you know, play footy, and to, you know, he was always one that when he played for Fitzroy, that he'd, you know, be in there, in the pack. He'd never, you know, never back off from, you know, the fear of, you know, getting injured and things like that, or slamming into another player. He just demonstrated sort of that, you know, that constant endurance. You know, and she grew up on a farm, milking cows, getting up at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning to milk cows. And, you know, my mum, you know, does everything she possibly can to support us in our endeavours. Similarly, on Locke's side, my husband has had a very similar upbringing. And, you know, when you're surrounded by people who just get the job done, no matter what, no matter how many things, you know, they have to process and deal with and get through, you learn that as a child to be, you know, to take those values and to push forward. And so then you can easily, especially in this day and age, you can easily just go, nah, I'll just sit on the couch, or I won't jump into that, you know, that really stressful, fearful situation, because, you know, what if I'm embarrassed, or what if I don't run well, or all these what ifs. But then you're really just limiting yourself and missing out. You know, if you can get out there and put yourself in those positions on regular occasions, you know, you'll get better at dealing with adversity and you'll get more resilient through that process. So I think, yeah, early on, you know, with the right role models in your life, it certainly, you know, you can certainly either go one way or another. But in my circumstance, you know, I've just grown up with that desire and that, you know, fight to want to just keep at it and keep trying to get achieve the goal. And I remember, you know, I've got like a very vivid memory of standing at the old Olympic Park in Melbourne with my dad and my coach Dick Telford, and we were watching Lisa Ondieki run Zatopek. You know, I was in between injuries at that point, and I remember Lisa running about a 32-minute 10K, and I said to Dad and Dick, gosh, that is so fast. I just can't imagine, you know, how amazing it would be if I could run as fast as Lisa and run as fast as her in the marathon one day. And she became a mentor of mine. Dick coached her as well and won a silver medal at the Olympics. People like that in your life where you just keep driving and aspiring to, you know, be, you know, like them or, you know, or achieve some of the things that they've achieved. And when I ran my 31:20 in Sydney for 10K and then on to, you know, run 22:23 for the marathon in Osaka, you know, you just remember those moments where we, you know, we stood at Olympic Park as a little girl going, wow, imagine running that fast and, you know, being able to do that. And, you know, having someone who's really goal oriented. So if I have this specific goal there, I'll really work towards it and I'll put everything into it. But if I don't have a goal set, then I find it, you know, really hard to focus on the training and go out for the runs. It's, yeah, I have to have this target there. And even those days, you know, there's days where I don't want to go out. Like yesterday was blowing a gale here in Melbourne and sleety rain, and out I went. And I think at one point, my last rep before Sydney yesterday, I was finishing it off and Locke was riding the bike in front of me, and all of a sudden part of a tree branch like flew off in the wind and hit me in the head. And I was thinking, why am I out here doing this like a crazy person? But, you know, we got Sydney on Sunday, so we need to get out and do it. But, yeah, so all those things there that just keep you focused and keep you going is super important. You've got to have that real drive in order to, you know, keep focusing on the goal.
Yeah, I agree. I think the drive and having the goal is so important to keep yourself motivated. And it must be pretty crazy for you now to have the realization that, you know, what those mentors did for you, you're now doing for so many other women, not just like the next generation of women runners, but like the young girls under that as well. The amount of people you've been able to inspire is so incredible. Is that toughness and that confidence you carry on race day something that you train or are consciously working at the same time as the physical body in the lead up to a race? Or is it something that you think kind of just happens in the background?
A bit of both. When I was younger, I got some support when I was going through all the injuries around just getting nervous. I got nervous as a child getting on, you know what it's like to go on a track and run track races. You feel like the whole world's watching you, and really they're probably just having a conversation with their friends. But in your mind, you feel like you just, you know, you're on this stage. So I did get some help in my early years to just get through that because I'd been injured throughout such a long period. And I ended up being able to run a lot of cross country. But when I got to the track, that's when my shins started to play up. And so then after a while, I lacked a bit of confidence around, you know, certain race strategies. So I worked with a sports psychologist very early in my career, and that helped me get through my nerves. So anyone that's dealing with, you know, nerves before a race, I highly recommend, you know, having that opportunity to spend a few sessions with a sports psychologist, because that helped. So I've taken those things into my marathon training. I find that when I race, like I probably race better than I train, because when I'm training, I've got so many other things going on in my mind around, you know, I've got work things and I've got mum stuff and wife stuff and, you know, just all these things that you've kind of got going on in your head while you're trying to get this session done as well. So I'm not as good at preparing mentally when I'm doing that as I am when I hit the start line of a race. Yeah, but I think you know, you can read so many quotes, you can really over stimulate your mental preparation in that way. So I think you've got to really sort of set time and target the specific challenges that you're having within your journey and just focus on that. But don't be spending too much time on it, because then you can actually, be or go the other way and it'd be a bit more detrimental, because it's constantly a focus in, where it, and then you take away from the actual enjoyment of the running part that you're trying to achieve.
You mentioned about racing and your mindset in a race versus training, because your brain is maybe not so cluttered. But have you been able to ever surprise yourself with what your mind has allowed your body to do beyond what your training has really suggested you're capable of at the time?
Yes, in many races. So there's some speed there that in some races I've found this extra second and third gear that I didn't know I had because I hadn't been tapping into that in training. So probably my finish of the Sunshine Coast Half Marathon 2019, I knew I was in super shape, but I was able to go extra gears than I really even realized in the last 4K, and had a really special opportunity there. So I guess those things you don't really know until you just, you just give it a shot. And, sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. And you've got to be okay with, either result, and just to be proud of yourself for making those decisions on the fly. I mean, if you're in a race, you're constantly got to be switched on. You're going, you're assessing what's happening, how you're feeling, etc. And so you've got to make these real split second decisions in a race as to what you're going to do, and then you've got to live with that result. So sometimes it works out and other times it doesn't. But yeah, there's certainly been some times where I've raced and thought, wow, I didn't know I could do that until I did it.
What an incredible feeling that must be.
I think probably the other one that sticks in my mind is Osaka last year. So Osaka Marathon 2024 was, I'd got COVID in Valencia the December prior, and so missed that amazing opportunity to run fast. And so in my typical crazy fashion, I went, that's it, where am I going? I'm doing something else. I'm going to have another go at this. And so we went back to Osaka. But of course, luck is not something that I tends to come my way that often. And we got really difficult conditions, cold, wet, raining, super cold. And I think I wore my head thing and gloves and arm warmers and everything the whole way and was still freezing. And I managed to be with the leaders for all but the last, little bit of the race, and ended up finishing third there. And now when I run in the colder conditions that aren't even as cold as that here in training this winter, I think, how did I even do that? I'm freezing and it's, 8 degrees. So I think there's little things that you get from putting yourself through those challenging times and coming through, or learning new skills and learning new elements of mental toughness that help you in the next stages of your life. So it may not necessarily be helping you in a race situation. It may just be a work situation or an illness in the family, or, things that happen, as life progresses. And I think marathon running, tends to give you those skills as well, regardless of the result.
Oh, so much about running, doesn't it? It gives you so much to take into other areas of your life. But before we move on from the mental toughness, I'd love to understand what's really going through your mind, say at your 32, 35K mark of the marathon, and maybe the body is starting to resist a little bit. What is the conversation that you're having with yourself at that time?
Yeah, it's different in different races. And I don't think I would be able to tell you one particular thing that happens, because when I'm in the middle of a race, it's it really depends on where I'm, I guess, what my goal is for that race and what I've tried and what's next as well. So they've all been different. For example, 2019 I ran Chicago and I was the fittest I have ever been and got food poisoning and was vomiting at that point, at that 32K mark. And so, my thoughts at that point are do I pull out here or do I keep going to the finish? I've worked so hard for this. I still want to get to the line. And what can I still, do feeling so wretched? So, so my thoughts there are around, telling myself there's no way I'm not finishing this race. There's, so many cool stories about all the people going through much, more difficult things than I am. and they're out here and they're finishing this, and you know, so, and I'm finishing this because I signed up to this, and it's, you know, it's what I, you know, what I'm here for. You know, in those types of races, that's the sort of talk that I would give myself, that we're doing this together and everyone out here is at a different stage at that point in their mental game and their physical game, and that's what, well, that's the marathon. You know, whereas in races like Osaka that I talked about just a few moments ago, I was in a situation where I was like, you know, still in it with a chance of winning and ended up getting bronze. So at that point, I'm, you know, feeling very tired, as you do at 32K, but still very much alert and very much racing as if it was the first 5K. Yeah, so it's, it all depends on what, you know, what the marathon and what the weather and, you know, and what circumstances throw at you, as to how I'd be at that time. But I think you've got to make sure that you give yourself permission to feel all those things, and then you, you then give yourself an opportunity to then change how you, you know, how you process that and how you continue on and achieve the goal.
Do you know what I get from you is that you are so humble and you have no ego. And I think that is the case for a lot of runners, is they carry an ego, and if they're not hitting their splits or getting the time that they're aiming to get, all they want to do is stop because they're not going to get the post on Strava that they wanted. And I think for you, like, even just the fact that you acknowledge that everyone else is hurting and everyone else is going through this, and thinking about what the other runners are feeling at that time, is a pretty incredible thing to have, particularly as an athlete at your level. I think that's, again, just really inspiring and something that I want to carry more, as well as being like, we're all in this hurting. Pulled out of one marathon before, and it was the Gold Coast Marathon in 2019, and that was me. I pulled out because I wasn't going to get the time. I was trying to qualify for world champs at the time, wasn't going to get the time, wasn't a lot of pain, and just decided to step off the course. Although that taught me a lot at the time, I think it was what I needed, because it shifted my relationship with running. There is part of me that is like, I should have just kept going, because I probably would have still run a PB, but my ego got in the way. How do you kind of control that ego, and why, where do you think that kind of humbleness that you carry comes from?
I think that well, a few things. I grew up very shy, so I never really ever wanted to be in the limelight. I was always, you know, always the supporting act, I guess. And I'm okay with that. I like to, you know, I get my energy from helping others. I get my energy from seeing, you know, in my day job, from helping others grow, and from us building and, you know, building something together and seeing and celebrating that. So, you know, I love, the thing I love about running is running with people. So I love going with my husband for runs, and I love, you know, he's riding the bike for some of the harder, longer sessions now, but, you know, when the shorter ones, we still run together, and, you know, he rides when he can. And, you know, we just really enjoy that time together, and that, you know, helping each other stay fit and helping each other through lots of things in life. And, you know, and so I guess, I don't see myself as being, I know I'm the one who has to go and do the race, but when I talk about running, it's a we thing, you know, it's a Pete, Locke and I, and everyone that, and Dick, and everyone that helps is part of that. So I guess that's part of it. And then the other piece is it's running, and I started running because I just like the enjoyment of health and fitness. And I, you know, I could have, you know, potentially chosen another sport and taken myself down a different path. But this is kind of where life took me, and I'm grateful for that because I've met some amazing people. And of course, I married my husband, who was totally into athletics and track and field. So it's been a perfect adventure together. And so, yeah, I guess I just see, I don't really see myself as an elite runner. I just see myself as a runner like everybody else. And I see that I go through challenges like everybody else, and you know, I get up in the morning like super early and I run before work, and you know, and then in the earlier days before COVID, when we had no remote working, I would be running with Lachlan after work, and we'd get home at 8 o'clock at night, you know, before Pete. And so I don't really have that elite athlete lifestyle, and haven't had that elite athlete lifestyle for most of my career. So it's not really where I see myself. And we're also fighting, you know, a lot, you know, as in we're fighting for a position in, you know, in sport, in sport history, in track and field. And, you know, there's, track and field is not, you know, is not the kind of the money and the prizes and the, you know, the media coverage is what you might get as a tennis player or, you know, basketball player at the highest level. So I think you're kind of a bit more grassroots when you're in the running community, and everyone can, you know, everyone is going to on Sunday run with Kipchoge and Stefan, maybe not at their pace, but, you know, what other sport? You can't go and play AFL, you know, with the top AFL players on the day when they're about, you know, when they're lining up for the grand final. But you can have that experience, you know, on Sunday in Sydney with Kipchoge and Stefan, etc. So I think that's also a bit grounding that, you know, you're not, you know, everyone is treated kind of equally in a running race and everyone has a shot at it. So yeah, I guess it comes from that, comes from always fighting for a position and always, you know, I had early years and throughout my whole career where I didn't think I was going to make it because of first injuries, then, you know, opportunities to race certain races and things like that. And so I think my whole career, I felt like I've had to continually prove myself even to this point. Yeah, doesn't matter how old you get, it seems to be the same.
Yeah, even if you're not fighting for positions, I feel like you would still be fighting to prove yourself because you just have the mindset of never being satisfied. That's what I'm getting from you. And how do you deal with that? Like, do you ever stop and just pat yourself on the back and be like, I did that and that's incredible and let's like just soak it all up? Or are you just constantly get to that finish line, raise the bar?
I think probably prior to last year, I would always raise the bar and I would say, yeah, let's go again. What are we doing next? Et cetera, et cetera. And that's kind of my personality with everything. Like, you know, deliver a project at work and it's like, we did this, this is awesome. You know, now we're going to do this. What are we going to do next? You know, so that's, I just got like that energy. But I think I'm at, you know, I'm 46 now and I've run, this will be my third marathon. I feel like, you know, we often joke in the house, it's like I'm a bit playing with house money now at 46. If somebody told me that I'd still be run, you know, I'd be part of this field at 46 when I was 26, I would have thought, yeah, you're crazy. What are you talking about? Most marathon runners, I think I was told I was too old by the, you know, the sport back in, I think, when I ran my first marathon. So what, 20, 28 years old, I think. And so I guess it's a different mindset now because I'm like, I've got nothing to lose, right? The fact that I'm still out here running and enjoying these opportunities and, you know, so grateful to Sydney and the team for, you know, being part of this opportunity for the first world major. It's pretty special. So the mindset's a little bit different, but yeah, I'm kind of at a stage now where I've got nothing to lose.
Yeah. The age thing I don't want to talk about too much because I think age is a number and it's incredible to see these women who are just absolutely smashing it in those years. And I do know, I'm not going to name names, there was another Australian athlete who got told she was too old and I think she got dropped when she was like, yeah, late 20s, early 30s, and now she's running PBs and she's in her like mid to late 80s and she's smashing it. And I'm like, you just can't put a time frame on people's professional performance. Like, it's just so incredible seeing how strong and resilient these women are who just keep coming back and doing more and more. And also women who have had children and have become mums and have all these other things going on. Do you think becoming a mum changed or shaped the athlete that you are today?
So when we decided to have Pete, I actually broke my sacrum. So I was all qualified and ready to go to the Commonwealth Games. And I broke my sacrum and Locke and I were like, this is time, this is the right time. Like, this is a message, you know. Not that I'm kind of like believe in all of that stuff, but it's like, oh, this is like perfect, right? But I also thought, I've been a runner for all this time and I'm small and I don't weigh a lot and maybe it'll be tough because you don't know like what, you know, what's going on there until you start trying. And so we then were so fortunate, I was able to get pregnant within the second month. So it was kind of like, oh, luckily we're pregnant. I was really lucky. But I was also really, and we both were, we were so ready to start a, you know, a family and we were just so grateful for that opportunity. And I didn't really care if I ran competitively again. So I felt like at that point, which is a while ago now, but 10 years ago, that I'd achieved some amazing things, things that I never thought I would dream of doing. And if I got to run again, that would be amazing. And if not, well, this is going to be really fun being a parent. And so since then, had to juggle, you know, parenting and work and, homeschooling through COVID and all those things while trying to prepare for Olympics, which I didn't do a fabulous job of the preparing for Olympics piece for Tokyo because I was homeschooling Pete and, not able to leave the house half the time, more than 5K. So, I guess there's, opportunities that pop up, since having Pete have been opportunities that we've said yes to because it's been an adventure and a chance for Pete to see the world, a chance for us to do something fun together and to show him what sport can provide and the relationships and the travel and the, just putting yourself out of your comfort zone. So I guess from a running perspective, to answer your question, post-Pete has been more about how do I involve him in the journey and show him the positives. There's been some negatives, obviously, with last year, but that he's had to live through. That I wish I could have taken, that experience away from him so he wouldn't have had to, been exposed to all of that. But, we've been working overtime, Locke and I, to show him that, that's not what sport's really all about and that, so we traveled to quite a few places at the end of last year to really show him that and to give him that celebration of sport. And yeah, and it certainly has been good for all three of us to have that experience and to, remind ourselves of the positivities that come with being an athlete. And I think it's been good for him. He was a prep child during the COVID, when COVID started in 2020. That generation sort of missed those foundational years, even the foundational years of just playing sport with each other in the playground, and because they were cooped up at home for so long. But I'm finding that with certain things like that, Pete's, starting to get his passions and things, they're popping up now. So just a year later. But he's all into cricket, so we might be cricket parents soon, I think. So
I
I'm
think
looking forward
you
to that.
left around the cricket pitch if you need to, so that could work out quite well.
That's right. And the games go for ages, so
Oh, well, I'm sure what your dad did for you will be doing for Pete and inspiring him, although it might not be running. I'm sure your resilience and your strength and your passion for sport will definitely be rubbing off. So he is a very lucky kid to have you as a mum. I have one final question for you. For all the young women runners that are looking up to you, what do you think is the most important quality to develop early as a runner?
definitely resilience, because even when you feel like you're almost making it, you get punched and you have to be able to, get through that. And that may be, you may get a cold just before a race and you need to deal with that. And you need to deal with the grief of, putting in all this effort and then getting a cold or getting food poisoning or missing selection or, all those different things that you have to be able to process and deal with. And so resilience is key. But I think also, like, the thing that really helped me throughout my early years is I had all of those stress fractures. So instead of focusing on poor me and why me and all of those things that you can tend to, fall down into that spiral, I just constantly found people that I thought were experts that could help me fix the problem. So you've got to have and continually be comfortable to reach out to people to get advice, to then process that advice, make sure it's correct, and try different things in order to get to where you need to go. Because even though running is an individual sport, there's so much out there that you can learn from, and you can get some terrible information as well. So you've got to be, got to do due diligence. But I think it's really important to, instead of focusing on the negative, to focus on, well, how can I fix this? And so learning that resilience and then the how can I move forward really quickly, because it's easy to fall into that, sort of why is this happening to me? And those sort of feelings when you're putting in so much effort and, little things like stress fractures and illnesses and things pop up and that are out of your control, but there are things that you can do in the future that help minimize the risk.
I love that. And we did not prep you for that question at all, but I love that you bring forward the fact of getting credible information and credible resources when you need it. And that's exactly why we built Femi, was to bring all of these credible women's health voices forward to actually guide women in the most appropriate way on their running journey to have a really healthy and sustainable relationship with it. And it's so important with, today's media, the access we have to so much misinformation or misguided information. It's really dangerous when it comes to your health, and running is part of your health journey. So I love that you raised
So
that.
true.
Yeah, thank you so much. I know our community would have absolutely loved this conversation. I know that they're all going to be rooting for you on Sunday. It's going to be such an amazing day, and I just can't wait to see you out there, the little pocket rocket, absolutely grinding with grit. It's like so inspiring. And thank you for inspiring myself as well. I just feel honored to have people like you ahead of us and like paving the way. So thank you. And I will pop Lisa's Instagram into our show notes if you want to go ahead and follow her on Instagram, follow her journey. But yeah, thank you, Lisa, and good luck for Sunday.
Thank you, Lydia, and good luck to you. I'm really looking forward to that start line hug that we'll be
Yes.
waiting for each other. So I'll see you on the start line, and let's go and have some fun night on the streets of Sydney.
Yes, let's go. Thanks, Lisa.